Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is a sick episode. He makes all the figures with all the spikes on them. Unlucky Toys coming in hot. Moving to Japan, still made time to come on Toys on Tap and paint toys, because this week there's going to be a drop specific for his episode. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, subscribe, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. You can jump on all socials at Toys on Tap. And if you want to support more, you can jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap. It's where you find the extra goodies when we put extra goodies up there. And it supports the show, because this is a love letter to the community. But it's nice to know that people love it and want to support it. Now let's jump into this week's episode, Toys on Tap. Before we start anything, please, please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do.
Okay, of course. Yeah. My name's Joe, but I sell toys under the brand Unlucky Toys. Basically, I got started a few years ago making, wanted to make resin cast figures. I was inspired originally by Steady Crafton on YouTube. I've been following him for many, many years. So that's initially like got me into the scene, as well as mechanical keyboard resin artisan keycaps. But I wanted to make like fancy keycaps and stuff. That's what got me into it. Since then, I've made a few connections in the city. I'm located in Des Moines, Iowa right now, but I'm currently in the process of moving to Japan, which is a whole nightmare. And then I started getting into soft vinyl. So my soft vinyl toys made with made by Mile High Sofubi. Out in Denver. He's a legend. He's the best. He's a really great work with. Since then, I've been getting back into resin casting and doing dual casting now. It's been a lot of fun.
Heck yeah. Dude, I have so many questions to go over, but you're moving to Japan. Let's start there. Like, what's that about? What?
Obviously, I've always liked Japan. My generation grew up with anime being on Cartoon Network, you know, so it's like not unusual for my age range. By the way, I'm 27.
Okay.
And I always wanted to visit. And so, me and my wife got married. For our honeymoon, we went to Japan for a few weeks. And she was like, yeah, I like Japan stuff. But for whatever reason, she just like fell in love with Japan. And she wanted to move there so bad. So she got an English teaching job. And that's pretty common, like when foreigners want to move to Japan. She's an elementary teacher in Japan, just teaching English. I think she's doing like summer school, but she's like officially starting like, I think tomorrow. She's going to go meet the principal of her school and stuff. I'm still in the process of moving out there. It's difficult. Japan doesn't necessarily welcome foreigners with open arms. They have lots of paperwork and strict rules, so. We're gonna make it happen.
But you're gonna be around some of the best toy makers in the business.
Yes, absolutely. I've been talking to Shiphead a little bit. He's out in Japan. Getting some advice on how he's making toys out there and see if I can make something work. I don't think I can do resin casting in our tiny little apartment. So it's possible I'm gonna have to go. If I wanna keep making toys in Japan, I'm gonna have to go there out of probably doing like a soft vinyl and then just airbrushing myself.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Walk it back for me all the way back. You're a kid growing up. What are the toys you're playing with, the cartoons and stuff you're watching? What's kind of shaping the reason you're in toys now?
For sure. I think they're Mighty Bones, the little plastic collectibles. When I was really, really young, I got really into those, and that was like the first like blind bag experience I had as a kid. I remember I'd always go to all the stores and like ask for them. Same thing with like Bakugan, little magnet, like spring loaded magnet things that you put on a card. You might hear my dog, he's snoring, he's sitting on my lap.
It's all right.
I got a pug.
Yeah.
I got a pug, he's a old man. But really into Toonami, and so like Cartoon Network's like anime like website. I used to fucking watch anime on there all the time. Watch Naruto, obviously. I really like Megazords. I had really fucking cool like metal Megazord, like diecast metal Megazord. That was super sick. But I wasn't into. I'm a little bit too young to be super into like the TMNT figures and like Power Ranger figures. I did do Star Wars figures though. I had some really really cool Star Wars figures that were I liked a lot, and I didn't play with them. I keep them like really nice.
Yeah. Are you talking like the worst ones, like Power of the Force or like the Phantom Menace?
No. But I wasn't getting prequel figures, I don't think. These are original trilogy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the Star Wars ones that I grew up with, there was something, I have a couple of them sitting on my desk right now. The animals and the giant creatures I'm addicted to. I don't know why.
There's a lot of really cool creatures.
Yeah. And even the, like, I do have one prequel one. It's this like giant fish thing when he's swimming down to the Gungans.
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave. Go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys.
We talk about old toys.
And new toys.
And toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who knows?
You gotta check anyway, it out.
Toy Rats. Toy Rats. YouTube.
Bye.
Bye.
Like,
oh yeah.
It's those ones are the best toys ever, and they're just in boxes. They're not even set up.
Yeah, yeah. I bought it from a friend, but I bought a Jar Jar Binks figure.
Oh, that's crazy.
It looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
But we had we both worked at a theater, and there used to be like a little Star Wars diorama that was really nice of, oh man, what's his? It's the young kid. I think it's Jango Fett before he grows up. What's the kid's name before he turns into Boba Fett? I don't know. Is Jango the dad, Boba Fett the son?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. His diorama was like them.
Okay.
I think it's a prequel one. And I got him that to put next to the Jar Jar next to the theater.
What a wild thing. I mean, when does art kind of kick in for you? I mean, you grow up with Star Wars, which kind of ignites a lot. I even though you grew up with the worst Star Wars, but yes. Like it still ignites something that is now like flowing through the veins. So like, when does art kind of kick in?
I don't know. My family's always had my family's always been crafty, I guess. Dad's an architect, and my mom's she went to art school for years. She didn't graduate, of course. All the best artists don't, right?
Yeah, if you graduate, did you do anything?
I would try hard. You should just. But never like super fine art or anything. But it's always like been encouraged in the house. Like we always had like a craft room, essentially. But I was never doing anything quite to this extent. What really kicked it all off was like the level of like actually making, you know, toys was originally, during lockdown, I was skating around a bunch, started skateboarding a bunch, started seeing a bunch of graffiti and got into like the graffiti scene, which, you know, has weird connections and ties back to the toy scene as well. Especially with like some like the New York artists I met at like Collecticon last year. When I went and talked to them, I'm like, these are all like graffiti heads. So there's that connection there. And then also like I was watching like YouTube videos of people making figures and stuff. I was like, that's something I want to do. Also, yeah. Professionally, it was like a software engineer. And so I had like the means to fund the hobby, because it's not particularly cheap to get all the equipment really to do like nice resin casting. You can do it on a budget, but it certainly helps.
Yeah. I mean, resin casting, the startup cost is unreal, like pressure pot and all that stuff. But
yeah, like you probably spend $1,000 on equipment.
Yeah,
if you don't like totally DIY. I mean, you can get by with like the Harbor Freight DIY pressure pot, but I don't want to I don't want to be afraid every time I am resin casting that I might go off.
Dude, I used that DIY one for, I mean, I only did resin toys for like 3 years, and I hate the process sometimes because so much goes into it. And if you mess it up, you got to start all the way over. And I remember using the pressure pot and realizing how scared I became of it. I was like, cause you like put all the things down. And one time I heard a pop and I was like, I'm going to die now.
I was like, I'll buy the pressure pot. And it's like, I think I'm going to, I don't feel comfortable with the pressurized DIY switch.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people 2 years and it's fine, but the Harbor Freight DIY paint pot conversion is just not for me. I'm not doing it.
So I did that for a while. And then at some point I was like, nah, I can't, this is insane. What am I like? I don't want to do this. I don't want to do any of that. I started getting so scared of it. And it was like one time I had a stripped screw on it, on the lid too. So you like, it would go in and it would tighten. And then if you went even a hair too much, it would like unthread, which is what we want for a pressure pot to like unseal.
Emergency evac, the pressure. Yeah.
So I started like, this is the crazy thing. I started like hitting it off and I wouldn't go back in there until I knew that it had all like leaked out over the course of like 8 hours.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah. I just got so nervous with it, but,
you can conquer the right equipment.
Yeah. So how are we learning how to do all the resin stuff? Like we watch Steady Crafting probably. We kind of
YouTube video, but major important like portion of this story. Des Moines has a interesting. Des Moines like has a weird, unique art scene that is like a bit bigger than you'd expect for like a city in Iowa. It's very cool, I think. There's lots of very talented artists here, and there's a major one of the major like attractions for that is the Mainframe Art Studios, which is this big ass building with a bunch of artist studios for rent that are reasonably nice, lots of really, really talented artists in there. And thankfully I got some friends in there as well, so that is always fun to go visit. And every first Friday of the month, all the studios are open and you can go tour and meet artists and buy things, right? And one Friday I went in, and in the basement, Kyle Kerwin was setting up his studio. So Kyle Kerwin, who's him and his wife work for Strange Cat Toys, or partner, I don't know, I think they're married. He obviously has made lots and lots of really well-known toys in the scenes were reputable. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, I know this guy. I'm like, I think I've seen you on a tested video on YouTube. I saw his, I don't remember what they were, what they're called, but he has these big sculptures that are really, really cool. And so it was the first day he moved into the studio. I walked in and met him and I was like, I'm trying to get into this right now. And so he gave me lots of advice on how to resin cast this sculpt, which is, as you imagine, not trivial. It is like as difficult as you could possibly make it.
Yeah, you have horns everywhere in every direction.
It's quite literally like air pockets, air bubbles in every possible way. So yeah. Like I ended up orienting it, I think, like this, which is about as good as it gets. But we talked for hours about how to make all that happen. He was like, you, maybe this toy is better suited for vinyl. Mm-hmm. Which it is very well that way. He was like, you should reach out to Mile High. And I did. That's how this got made. But yeah, he's been a huge inspo. We have like a little crew out here, the No Coast Trouble Club. There's a little small toy scene in Des Moines that is very cool. Owlberry Lane, Heather is out here in Des Moines. Kyle and another Kyle. There's a few artists out here that are in the toy scene. It's surprising because you wouldn't expect there to be really anything.
Yeah, the toy scene is vast. Like, it's crazy. I'm on 4 years, working on 5 years of this podcast. And the only time I have repeats are when I ask those people deliberately. I am not even at the point where I need to do that yet, which is so chaotic.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's really cool. I think it's very cool that there's so many people that are all across like the country doing it. It's not, you know, specific to a few. And every region, I feel like, has its own little like vibe to the toys that they're making, which is cool.
Yeah. So you sculpt that first one?
I actually didn't sculpt this.
Okay. Who sculpted for you?
This was sculpted by an artist I paid because I didn't know how to 3D sculpt at the time. Yeah. But it took many revisions. But this was originally an illustration. This is like a draw this character. And then tried to convert it to 3D, and I couldn't get it right. So I contacted an artist. He helped me sculpt this, and then I've cleaned it up since then a little bit. But since then, I've learned to 3D model. And so on Nomad Sculpt, I did all the sculpt for this toy, the soldier, which is two sculpts. There's the inner piece.
Yeah.
So this is all done in Nomad.
And that's is that double cast right there?
This is a dual cast, yeah.
Yeah. That's insane. Yeah, this
This is a marbled inner piece, like with resin, like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the clear is also marbled. So like there's a dark patch in the blue and a light patch.
Looks really. That's the stuff that I never did. I never got into double casting because I messed up a couple times and I finally was like, I'm done. I don't want to do this.
I think I lucked out on it. Like I think it should have. I expected it to not work and it just kind of came together. I think I got lucky. It's not easy.
As you are beginning this and that's such a big jump, right? He tells you like, hey, that might not work. You might want to talk to Soft Vinyl. Paul, I love Paul and all the things he does. I love Paul so much. This is so crazy. I worked with Paul to make Chum, this little figure.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And then I brought him on the podcast and we had talked and stuff. He had made mention of like one Sifubi piece that he wanted to get his hands on that was released in like 2008, 2003, I don't know, but he couldn't find it. And I love that guy so much that I looked everywhere until like two years later, I was able to find it and we got it to him, which was awesome. But he has like this grip on me and I don't know what is it like, no idea, but he's so funny. So moving, you just like kind of jumped into Soft Vinyl then.
Yeah, I just said, all right, I'll hit him up. And Paul's interesting to work with because he, at least in my experience, he kind of picks and chooses what he will work on.
Yeah.
Kyle and I messaged, I don't know how long ago now, it's been a few years maybe, since I got the molds made and this toy made. Kyle and I would both contact him at like similar times and he would like, sometimes he just wouldn't respond to Kyle at all. I was like, I think he gets really focused on things he's interested in. And I think I got lucky and he, for whatever reason, was somehow like fascinated by this design. So he was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. And he's a one man band. So it's like he is marketing and design and all kinds of stuff.
I met him in person for the first time at CollectedCon, and after talking to him, I'm like, I totally understand why you email like you do.
Yeah, he's really funny. The way that I usually interact with him is I will email him and then send him a DM.
Yeah, that's a guaranteed combo.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, just so we're clear, I need to order something, but it's email. Yeah, so you make that. I mean, that's a solid way to jump into the toy scene, right? So you meet Kyle, and all of a sudden, this is how you move and you build your non-DIY pressure pot system and do all that stuff.
Yeah, Kyle was a major, major, like, was very, very supportive and like gave me a lot of like confidence to do a lot of these things, because it was like, this, like, he knows what he's talking about. And he's like, yeah, this is a really cool figure. This is a cool design. Like, people dig it. Here's how you can make it happen. And so, like, having that, like, confidence boost to just, you know, go for it was super helpful. Also, it helped a lot that I was never, like, for me, it was always an outlet for just my own, like, interest. Like, I was like, I just want to make these things. And so not having like the burden of like, I need to make money on these things was very helpful as well. I was able to, you know, float the hobby. Yeah, so I just kind of like, I had no pressure.
Yeah.
It was just having fun. And so that's how I got to, you know, this. And
yeah.
This is like, I'm really, really happy with this. I haven't clear coded it yet, but I think it's going to look crazy.
I think I'm in love with the soldier piece. I think there's a couple of things. To start in the toy scene with just trying to have fun is a really good way to start. If you start in the toy scene trying to say like, oh, I want to make money, this is not a good scene for you. Like, it's going to end up being pretty bad.
I would have had to do things very differently. And I think if I was purely seeking to make as much money as possible on these art, like on designer toys, I would have gone a totally different direction.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have been a brand or company that I'm like passionate about.
Right. Tell me about the making of the soldier. Also, you have this thing that kind of fits your design element of horns. Like, there's horns on some major aesthetics of the toys. So tell me about making the soldier.
Yeah, I don't know the exact timeline on it. I think I met, is it Doomco? It's his actual toys, Doomco Designs.
Yeah.
I met him at Flecticon 2 years ago, I don't know. And he is out of his damn mind when he's about sculpting. Like, the way his workflow for sculpting is crazy. He's obsessed with VR sculpting. It's really interesting to me. And we talked about his process and all that stuff. And I was super like inspired by him talking through his workflow. And then also when I met so many good people. Collecticon is a great convention. Mm-hmm. I couldn't make it this year because I wasn't in Japan yet, but we had so many things going on. I didn't have time to make it because we had to go to like get our visas and stuff in Japan and Chicago. And we were already back when we went. But also I met, I think he was there, but Motley Miscreations had some insane, I don't have it with me, unfortunately, but there's a specific piece I bought from him that was like a huge, like I would look at it and go like, I want to make a dual cast toy. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go for it. And that was the originate, like why I sculpted this design, like with the intention of having an inner piece. And I literally, after coming back from the convention, just got on a Nomad and said, I'm going to finish this sculpt today. We'll have one done today, and I'm going to 3D print it. I got a resin printer, make a master, and cast it just like as fast as I can. And I think I had from nothing to a piece in my hand in like a day and a half or two.
That's insane.
The first revision is terrible. It doesn't stand up. It falls over. I like didn't know what I was doing. We went through a few revisions, and then eventually the inner sculpt, which took forever. Because I use like all these, there's way more details than is necessary.
I hand sculpted all. Yeah, as every artist will do.
And I meticulously sculpted these like gross little veins that you'll never see, but you know. And so I kind of just like speed ran it. I was like, I'm gonna like force myself to make a toy, and I ended up being really happy with it. If you don't have Nomad Sculpt, download that. It's like crazy good value.
Heck
yeah. Not very expensive. Not monthly, but one time.
Yeah. Motley Miscreation sculpted for me at one point. Insane sculptor.
Yeah, his prices are really, really good. Like, he had some incredible dual cast pieces with really, really high like production quality. I don't know. Like, the polish was immaculate. The bottoms are perfectly flat. I was like, dang. the quality on these is really high. I haven't even reached that. I'm pretty obsessive about the like the quality of the finished pieces. I'm never happy with it. I'm always like, it's not mirror finish.
Yeah. The what comes to mind too, it, do you ever plan on making the Soldier soft final as well?
That would be so sick. I really do like something like when I'm in Japan, I hunt endlessly for the Vinyl Artist Gacha series. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, Soldier vinyl in that format would be so cool.
Yeah. So, and because you can do clear, I think Moyokama does the clear with the insert that looks like the muscle.
Oh, cool.
That, so cool. It's doable. I don't even know how he does it.
Yeah, I've been trying to get Paul to do some clear of these, and he's like, nah.
Clear is tough. I know that Paul...
Deeply challenging. Recently, the Bonk figure, the vinyl toy, the Bonk with the... What's his name? From New York. I don't know. But the he recently did a Bonk figure with Chompton that is... of like pink and clear vinyl, and it looks so cool. I do wish there were more pieces on this, so because like when you do a mix and match of the vinyl colors, it's cool and fun, but like there's only one piece, and so it's like
I mean, you could re-sculpt and make every like do another mold fee and every spike.
Spike is another piece. What a nightmare to be assembling this.
Dude, I had an idea a long time ago that I wanted to do, and I called him Spike, and he was this like this ball, and the way that the soft vinyl would work is like you'd pull out certain spikes and then you'd put in like other spikes, and it would have like things coming out. Yeah. And, but it's too much.
Like a soft vinyl, medieval flail with like a soft vinyl chain and everything.
There you
and
go.
I was like, no, it's crazy.
Yeah. I've had ideas like that.
Right. A lot of pieces.
Yeah. I've had ideas like that where the, like one of the initial ideas is I wanted to do a kaiju set of cigarettes. So it was like every cigarette in the pack is removable, and it's like
so wicked.
And so I was talking to Doomco, and I was like, hey, so this is, but that's like an immediate 40 part mold, and I wanted the cigarette pack to be Sifubi as well, so you like put them in, and we're looking at like
a lot of molds.
Yeah, the mold cost just on the cigarettes alone would be so expensive because you're like running whole things on it. And he was like, how about we just make a kaiju, but it's one full piece. And so we're working on a cigarette one that'll come in a cigarette pack and stuff. But he talked me out of wanting to do the whole giant, like 40, 50 part mold. This is the.
Leave it to another freaking designer to say, no, you can.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been cool working with him. But yeah, I'm surprised that your piece got made because of the horns. Like it just bubble central every time.
This is. There's like occasionally you'll see there. I can tell like there's a vent here that connects, but I believe it's like this vent here. And then this is another sprue. But yeah, it's nasty. Like, turns out this is a really naive sculpt for getting. It's freaking this one's flat.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know we got a little off topic. I know you originally were asking about the horns and stuff, but like some of like the philosophy, I guess, behind like the unlucky toys is there's like kind of like the idea that these are manufactured by some kind of like villain, like in like some world where there's like a, you know, corporation. Kind of like, you know, like in Mordor when the fucking orcs are making like the swords and stuff. Like there's some kind of like a villain, like some fantasy realm or something that is manufacturing these like semi-sentient like munitions.
Looks great.
It's bad luck if one of these lands in front of you, it's unlucky, right?
Yeah. Are you a painter as well with that then?
For the like airbrushing?
Yeah, do you airbrush all the pieces yourself?
Yeah, I airbrush these. These are unpainted. I wish I had an airbrushed. I don't have any examples of anything painted right now. My collection of like actual figures are. I don't do a good job posting them on my Instagram. That's usually my story, so they're gone. But yeah, I learned how to airbrush and get all my paints from Vinyl Wonder and they make good, really good stuff. So
Yeah.
a lot of like the cool effects. Anyone wants to know? It's Vinyl Wonder.
Heck yeah. Yeah, we've had Wonder Goblin on, and he's funny to talk to about like the intensity that goes into the paint and making it and
Rock
all that
hard.
stuff. And he's now in process to make his own vinyl pull factory.
Oh
And
shit, in America?
yeah. He
Ooh.
so Paul is now, I mean, Paul, I don't know who started it. Paul could be the first, I don't know. But so there's Mile High, Wonder Goblin's working on his, and there is the people at what it five no, what's the show that happens on the East Coast? Not it, I don't think it's 5 points. Maybe it's 5 points. Who does it's Clutter.
Clutter, yeah, Clutter. They're gonna do like a vinyl laboratory.
Already up and running.
Oh, really? In
Yeah.
domestic.
Yep. Well, like parts of it, right? So no one is doing the molds here yet. No
Well, yeah,
one's.
obviously you can get the molds made and
Right.
shipped over.
I think if someone can figure out here how to do the molds and do like the welding of the tray and the wax, that like that would be the way to do it. People would be.
It's not terribly difficult. It's just, I mean, it is. It's highly skilled work, but we have all the tradespeople necessary for that exist in the country. It's doable.
Absolutely. So you make these figures, and I mean the goal now with the soldier is like soft vinyl, obviously. That'd be such a fun
I'd
gotcha
love to do a
machine.
soft vinyl. I'd love to do a soft vinyl for that. I was talking to.
We interrupted this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE to a planet.
Oh my! We're doomed.
Wait, salvation! Hooray! We're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures!
DKE.
Man about how to make toys in Japan, so I got a few connections
Yeah.
even in Japan. Making the molds made in China usually. The Japan factories that make the molds are expensive and usually hard to get into.
Yeah. When you are like doing these things, then you go through all these crazy additions of making the soldier with the squishy ones, and you have different sizes. Tell me about that. Were you just experimenting? Just throwing anything at the wall?
I just started buying trial kits of like every material. I ended up liking best, I believe, dragon skin, one of the dragon skins, for like the right feel. But I never got a really good mold for the small figures made, so I never like released them. But yeah, I was just trying everything. At one point, I had a. I really wish this I can make this work. Cause it's really, really unique looking. I don't have an example of one, but I have a smaller sculpt of the inner piece. So I can make the small dual cast figures as well. And I did a resin inner piece and like a dragon skin outer
Like skin,
silicone.
actually.
And so the outer sculpt was like a thin, like rubbery skin. And it was really, really cool. But eventually it ripped on the bottom and then the whole thing just peeled off. But that like feel and that look is really, really unique. It's something I didn't explore further. But it was like I was just trying stuff like that with everything. I'm just having fun.
Dude, that's so sick.
Yeah, here's like a dual cast little one. Kind of see.
Did you make the skin see-through as well?
It was like translucent and like a little bit flesh colored. It was really creepy.
That's amazing.
The under sculpt was like It had a really unique look, but you couldn't photograph it. So I never posted it anywhere. You just can't translate it to the camera. That like, there's a word for it, but like the diffusion of the light into the silicone like doesn't capture well.
Okay.
In person, it looks fleshy and like alive, but on camera, it just looks.
Yeah, just random. Yeah. You said you went to Collected Con. I mean, you've been to these conventions. Are you tabling at them or just going to these things and hanging out?
Collected Con, I did have a tiny section on the table with the Nutcase Trouble Club the first year. It was technically Kyle's booth, but it was a few of us. So it was like Heather from Albury Lane, Kyle Kerwin, and Kyle Tool. I don't know if he has a toy brand specifically. He probably does. Sorry, Kyle. and then I had a tiny little section on the corner, just my vinyl toys. Yeah. That was a very, very, very generous of Kyle to let me have a little corner on the table.
How'd your figures do? I don't know anything about Collected Con, how well it's populated.
It was the first year, so it wasn't like blowing up. Mm-hmm. I definitely lost my deal, but it doesn't matter. Because met so many really, really, really talented people. The whole trip alone was worth it to meet Paul from Maha.
Yeah.
but yeah, I sold a decent amount. Like, I didn't sell out, but I think I sold maybe like 15, 20 figures.
That's crazy. That's a lot.
Yeah, and I was charging like $40, which is expensive. I was like, I know if I had them at like 15, I probably would have got rid of all of them. But I was like, I want people to buy. When people buy it, I want them to like actually want the thing.
Yeah. It's a middle ground of like, I don't know. This isn't your full-time gig. And so you have the opportunity to get them produced by Paul and then sell them for cheaper because you're not surviving off this money.
No. So, yeah. And these recently, I've been moving overseas. I've been selling mostly offline, giving people pretty decent
toys. Yeah,
yeah,
that's crazy. So
I know people want them, and I don't want to hoard them in a box. You know, I really enjoy going to and seeing them like in the wild. You know.
Yeah, I mean, now working with Mile High, when you move to Japan. He's going to have to ship all these to you.
Yeah. I might have to, maybe he'll send the mold to a factory over in Asia or something.
Yeah. He'll work with you.
But we'll make it work. Or I could just get a new mold made or something. You get like a game mold made. So it's a little bit cheaper because I think right now it's just a single piece at a time.
Yeah. Dude.
I want to really do a new sculpt. So like if I want to make this in vinyl, then I had to get a new mold anyways. And so I don't know, lots of cool, interesting things. We'll see how it plays out.
Heck yeah. I mean, you guys, when do you plan on moving to Japan? When's that move date?
So it's not totally certain because a few things still up in the air. I'm getting my spouse visa. I'm getting a dependent spouse visa, which is interesting because it doesn't allow me to work. So I guess I could make my living on my art while but we'll see how that works out. I'll probably just look for work in Japan again as an engineer, but we'll see. And then, so at the very earliest, like October, the more difficult thing though is getting my dog into Japan is difficult because it's difficult to get a place that you can rent that has the last pets and get that sorted. But his paperwork's in line.
Okay. I mean, also flying, how long's the flight to Japan?
It's far. Like a good one is like 10 hours, 11 hours. Usually like 13.
Can your pup hold their like bodily functions for 10 hours?
No, he's going to have to shit on the plane, man.
Sick.
I'm like, hey guys, sorry. I'm always going to take a dookie over here. No, it's doable. It's, he's over the limit for like in cabin on a usual flight. He's too fat. So we might have to pay for like a fancy like pet flight. I mean, exist. where it's just like,
it's worth it.
Weird. It's worth it. It's my little homie.
Yeah, it's super worth it. That's crazy. I'm pumped that you get to go to Japan. That's awesome. The toy thing there is unreal. Yeah, I mean, Creature Bazaar is there right now with Mandarake, and they took over that shop, and they are just there doing God knows what, selling toys, painting, doing whatever.
Which one? The one in Shibuya?
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75-inch or 1.18-0. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now functional. Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's COYSOMTAP 10. Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
Couldn't tell you. No idea.
I was right by it and it was closed the other day. I really didn't have a chance to go into the Mandarake. Yeah, but I'll be back.
Yeah. So they're there. They've taken it over, which is cool. And they're like slanging their wares and stuff. And I mean, you just being in Japan, you're already that much closer to Goto-san. So if you're lucky, he'll do some painting for you.
I don't know how to make that connection. I'm going to figure it out.
I've heard some like hard tales about how to get in touch with him. Like you got to know someone that knows him because he's nowhere online.
Of course not.
Yeah. Which is so crazy. He would do so well online with like just being there.
I don't know. He's just probably, I don't know anything about him other than like a few like interviews I've watched.
Yeah. I've wanted really to interview him, but
video of him.
Yeah. Wonder Goblin has a video of him painting, I think, or man, I can't remember. Like maybe there's someone where he like hands him a turtle or this like tortoise. And, I don't even remember if he decides like what colors, but then you just see Goto-san just like look at it and just start spraying. No mask, no glove, nothing.
Oh, just right after it. I'm like, that's crazy.
Hey,
Deep Tokyo Magazine has a write-up on him, I believe. Is that right?
Okay.
No, this isn't all I was thinking. Pendragon had a video he posted. The Pendragon's another person that...
Pendragon's dope.
I'm really inspired by these toys. They have you might notice we both have spikes and stuff on our... Back on my brain, for sure.
I mean, that's fine. No, there's no new ideas, right? Like there's always some idea walks back to another idea, walks back to another. I'm all for artists inspiring artists. I think Pendragon gets his stuff produced in Mexico too.
Oh, that's wicked. Really?
Yeah. I think I've seen a post where I'd have to look back. The issue with Toys on Tap is that I've talked to too many people because now I can't remember who's who. So I'm pretty sure he made a post talking about Mexifubi and his like vinyl pieces.
I know they definitely have.
Yeah.
Mexico has a lot of wicked talented people. Like you probably find a factory that's like never done a single toy ever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, here's how it works. And then get it done. And they get it done.
There's a factory there. I mean, they produce bootlegs. So they're on Instagram. They produce bootlegs. That's what they say. They're like, all we do is, and not even bootlegs of like TMNT, which I love those. I have so many around here. Like I have some sitting right next to me. Yeah. So he was talking about like they produce bootlegs of whatever art design tour. I don't know what he said, but then I saw in the back of one of his photos there was this T-Rex figure, and I was like, oh, like I want that one because they paint with God, what do you say? Car paint. So they paint their figure. Their giant, yeah. Which is too much. And so he was like, oh yeah, the T-Rex is 3 feet. It gets a giant T-Rex. We have the mold and everything. And I was like, oh, awesome. How much to get one shipped here? And he was like, $30. And I was like, okay, awesome. Like, can you paint it like Barney? Like paint it in a crazy scheme for me, please.
Yeah.
And then we lost connection and it was like, That could have been so sick right there.
Purple. He's like, this guy's out of his mind. Imagine getting it pinstriped and shit.
Dude, so sick. Yeah, I'm all about that stuff. If I could find a reliable factory in Mexico, in like Tijuana area, I would be their biggest supporter, because I'm in San Diego, so it's like 10 minutes, and I'm already in Mexico, and I would just drive over, pick up, and come back. But most of the stuff when they produce is further down, and I'm uninterested in driving that far into Mexico.
Oh yeah, fair enough. I'm jealous of the people that got the automotive clear coats going on their toys. Those look so good.
I just don't know how that paint translates well to plastics.
I don't know. Apparently it can work. I had Kyle tell me a few times to just get a bunch of these, go to an automotive shop and be like, right, how much you guys want to just clear cut these?
Just
nail them. Boom. If I ever do like a show with just a bunch of these, I would maybe do that. So I'd want them to be glossy.
Yeah. And it's like perfect gloss.
This is crazy.
Now I'm looking around like, what can I take in?
I know there's a lot of I just moved to a spot in Des Moines that's just surrounded by auto shops. I'm like right where like a large like Hispanic community is in Des Moines. And so there's tons and tons of like little like independently owned auto shops. I could easily find somebody clear cut some toys.
Do it real quick before you leave. Just try it once.
I might. I got a couple of things I want clear cutted, and I don't have my airbrush set up here.
That's so sick. Tell me about the name Unlucky Toys. How'd we settle on Unlucky?
So the origin here comes from I used to like this character specifically. I used to spray paint it, right? And so like if it showed up, I would put the 13 for unlucky next to it. And so if it showed up and you saw this, like, sorry, you got unlucky. I painted your wall. So it came from graffiti originally, right? Like it's an unlucky that, you know, they showed up on your wall, right? Not that I'm painting people's houses and stuff, but like, you know, under bridges.
Yeah.
But like, you know, that's where that came from. And so I was like, oh, like my like artist alias in a way was like 13. So I was sending out stickers. I don't know if I have them in here, but oh yeah, here's one. Like a big 13 right there.
I love it.
It's a little bit abstract, but you know. So I started like identifying it as like my alias as an artist is like 13 exclamation point. And so then I started making the toy, and I was like, well, Unlucky Toys. Where they all came from. Oh yeah, it's on the bottom.
So it's sick.
Right there. So that's where it originally came from. It's also because it's like in my headcanon, these are like, hey, aren't necessarily good guys. Like these would be, you know, villain soldiers. And so it's like bad luck if these guys, if you see my toys, right. Also just kind of a cool aesthetic, I think. But that's really all it is. That's all it came down from. And that 13 is like a number that I've used as like a, you know, back in the day, people would put a number at the end of their username because it's already taken. So you'd be like, you know, be like Joe 1234. I like had always as an alias had a 13, and so that's why.
Okay.
It's not really a bad
name. Yeah, it breathed life into your toys though, so that matters.
I'm a bit surprised like I didn't mull over like the naming or branding that much.
Yeah.
Because I could imagine myself obsessing over it.
Yeah.
Like me and my friend in college, we did like a streetwear startup in like 2016. That was really popular. And we spent hours and hours talking about what to name it and how to brand it. But with my toys, it didn't. It just kind of was like, yeah, of course. Unlucky Toys, good enough. But I'm pretty happy with it. I think it looked it like has like a unique like double entendre in the sense of like toy is from a graffiti term. A toy is like if someone's like shitty at graffiti or not very good, or you think that their style is whack, they're a toy.
Yeah.
So unlucky toys is a bit of a double entendre for like if you're a shitty graffiti writer and you get caught, and you get bagged, or you know, your graffiti gets crossed, you're an unlucky toy. And so there's a little bit of like a double entendre there, I guess. I don't know if that's the right usage of the word.
But. Yeah. I also think there's something cool about the bomb figure. If you get the bomb, it's unlucky, you're gonna explode. I like views.
I get that. Bad luck bomb.
So good.
And then I think this is just referred to as unlucky soldier.
Heck yeah. With all this stuff and everything that's happening, I mean, with the move headed to Japan so soon, what do you like? What's next for Unlucky Toys? What are you hoping we get to accomplish? Now,
I need to get all of these. I just had these mixed up before moving out. I got a bunch of these marbles. I got pink, green, and blue marbles that I'm going to paint up real cool. I'm not 100% certain what I'm going to do with them yet, but these are absolutely releasing soon. I'll probably cook up something crazy on each of those and make them all unique and do like a blind bag on those or something. I've been having a lot of fun doing the blinds mm-hmm. and making everything. See, I have an issue when I'm releasing these toys. I feel like I have to make, you know, 10 of them all the same, but I always want to paint them different every time. But I might do them all different and do a blind release on that. And then I'm going to absolutely try and get some of these released online before I move out to Japan, because I don't think I've made the full size available to anyone other than like in person. So those things for sure are coming. And then once I'm in Japan, I'm going to start working on figuring out if I can get a vinyl toy made up there.
Heck yeah. The dream.
And if that is the case, then it probably be a sculpt, but we'll see. I have some revisions I'll make because he has a bit of a dad bod from this perspective.
Hey.
He's got got a big barrel chest and no ass.
Hey, nothing wrong with the dad bod. They'd feel seen.
The soldier has a major dad bod. You can tell I sculpted it from this perspective and this perspective. And then I turned to this one. Oh.
How funny. Hey. I mean, let's do collab posts next week and get those things released if you're in.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, we can do something like that.
The week of your episode going live, we'll do things and tell people about your art.
Yeah, I'll make I have my I just got a desk set up so I can start airbrushing these, and I'll have those set up hopefully soon.
Heck yeah.
And then I do have a bunch of random blind like dual cast figures on my release as well. But yeah, I'm amassing a bunch of these big soldiers. I was wanting to do like a little tiny show in Des Moines, hopefully, and show those off. And then maybe I'll post them online. I don't know.
Sick. Dude, it was so good having you on Toys on Tap. The last part of every episode is you get to plug where they can find your art, how they can work with you, how we're going to find you once you get to Japan, all those things.
Absolutely. Okay. On Instagram is the number one place to see what I'm doing. That's unlucky.toys on Instagram. I also do own the very, very fancy unlucky.toys domain.
There we go.
And you'll go straight to my online, my e-commerce site where you can buy the stuff. I sell... Most of that stuff is sold out. There's a few things that are still available right now, but when I release like new toys like this, that's where they're going to be posted. But if you want to keep up with my content for sure, you'll need to follow me and check my Instagram stories. That's where I post most of my things. I should have like more evergreen material out there. I'm working on it. I do need to start a mailing list as well. If you want to work with me, DM me, and then we can, I'll send you my email address and you can contact me there. It's unlucky.toys@proton.me. I can send you that if you want to put it in the description or something, but Just DM me if you want to reach out. It's not like my DMs are gone.
Heck yeah.
As far as like doing toy collabs, I've done one collab so far, like officially with Zymot. He's awesome. I have a few of the Zymot blind bags available still on my website. I need to verify that inventory. Yes, I do. If you guys don't know Zymot, check him out. He's super chill. Here's my Unlucky Toys blind bag. So yeah, I think that's all the places you can reach me, and this is what's coming up. I wish I had more like set in stone for the this date. I'm gonna have these toys online. Yeah. My life's a little too out of control for that right now, but yeah, I think that's it.
Heck yeah, dude! Thank you again for coming on Toys on Tap.
Absolutely. If I get something going in Japan, I'll come back. I'll be a return guest.
Heck yeah.